nice to think of an inheritance. It's nice to think of a possession that we have. I'd just like to read a verse in the end of 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I'm sure we've all thought about this verse and thought about the things that are presented here in this verse that has to do with the child of God and his inheritance. You think of faith, and you realize that as a child of God, what we enjoy of the truth of God, we enjoy it because we've not only read it, but we believe what God has said. Now, faith is something that is a very personal thing, because no one else can have faith for us. When we read the Word of God, we have to accept what God says without question. And we can only do that by realizing that God is speaking, and he's speaking to us as an individual, and he's speaking to us because he had a message for us. Now, I suppose we find very short messages given to us in the Word of God. To Matthew, for instance, the Lord Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Well, that's a very short message. But the Lord Jesus was going to make a difference in his life. And to Peter he said the same thing, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." So, this important truth about faith is really what we lay hold of, what we have come to know from the Word of God, that we never have to unlearn. The things concerning the Lord Jesus we enjoy because we enjoy it when we're perhaps by ourselves, or perhaps when we're together as we are as in a meeting. Perhaps it's when we're together in the assembly. Perhaps we're there and there's a prayer meeting and each one is praying, and so we're entering into those prayers. You know, if you don't listen to the prayers of your brothers in the assembly, the prayer meeting gets rather dull. But as you listen to the prayers and of your brothers in the assembly, then you begin to enjoy that little prayer meeting. We don't hear many very loud amens, and I wonder if it's because we are not really listening. We don't really hear. I've enjoyed in my life being in a small assembly and seeing how a brother grows spiritually. And usually you can detect how spiritual growth there is by his prayers, how he begins to enjoy the needs he sees around him. He begins to think about those things that have to do with other of his brothers and sisters. He has a concern, and he's able to freely talk to the Lord about them. I suppose, too, as we see a brother who is offering praise and thanksgiving, we'll find and see real growth there. You know, sometimes we sing the hymns that are given out. Not always do we sing them. But sometimes we just make our lips move, I think. When we have such a vast storehouse of truth given to us in verse form and hymns and verses. And we can enjoy those together because we can sing them in unison. So there's a very rich feel that we have when we are saved and when we are brought into the little assembly where there is the liberty of the Spirit of God. But we enter into this because we have had our eyes opened, because we have believed. Now we're talking a little bit about love this morning. And the Lord saying, I have loved you. Well, if a person is very important to you, and that person comes up to you and says, I love you, does that do something for you? Does that cause you to turn away from that person? Or does that draw you to that person? Well, I'm sure if you have confidence in that person and in the reality of what that person is saying, you're really touched by it. I love you. And when we think of the word love, what do we think about? Well, if we read these 13 verses, I'm sure that we would be touched right away with the reality in these 13 verses that love, real love, divine love, is not the satisfying of one's emotions or loss. But love is unselfish. Have we learned very much about being unselfish? It seems to me that there's only one person that we really find this shining out in his life down here, and that's the Lord Jesus. Shining out to its very fullness, because we learn that in his unselfish love, he gave himself. Well, he couldn't go beyond that. There was nothing more. You think of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and you think of those words when he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then we begin to think of the price that love could pay. A price so infinitely great. How this should touch our hearts when it comes from one that we can say is our Savior. He's our Lord. And it's good for us to realize that he's our Savior. It's important for us to realize that he is our Lord. But I believe too we can realize that he is a friend, a caring friend. And as we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. I suppose in these last moments, I like to think of it in that way. That it's not days, it's just moments that we're going to be here. And perhaps in a very few moments we'll be looking into the very face of Jesus in the glory. And have we trusted him as a real friend? A friend that had a real interest in our lives. As we pass through perhaps some rough waters, some rapids, some difficulties, some pain. And we found that he was there. And we found as we reached out to him. And you don't have to tell me that you don't understand. I know you do. I don't know the pain that you've had. I don't know the trials you've had. I don't know the real need you've had for a friend. A real friend comes up and puts his arms or her arms around you and encourages you. Don't you feel glad you have such a friend? Don't you rejoice that this one has your trial as part of their burden for you? Aren't you touched by it? Sometime when you're alone and all is very quiet and there doesn't seem to be anyone near, no one calls you on the telephone and no one's there to talk to you, and here's your friend, and you look up in faith and you know he's there, and perhaps some verse of a hymn, perhaps some verse of the scripture, and perhaps you're a young person and you're lonely. You know what I'm talking about. You're really lonely. You're just wondering what you should do. You wonder what move you should make in the puzzle of life. But here's a friend. This friend loves you. This friend is unselfish. Just read this chapter. Just transfer this chapter to the Gospels, to the Lord Jesus. Just take it through the Gospels and go through the Gospels, and you'll just see how unselfish the Lord Jesus is presented to us. Always interested, always willing to help, and always being rejected. You think of the people that he healed, and yet even though he healed them, those same people, it would seem, didn't want him. But they wanted to be healed. And perhaps for each of us, we want the blessing in our lives. We'd like to have our pathway made a little easier. We'd like the journey not quite so rough. And we'd like the Lord to really take away perhaps some of the difficulties in our lives. But you know, those same people, I just think of this. We think of those lepers, there were 10 of them. And the Lord healed the 10. And they were all healed from their leprosy. But there was one that returned to give him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was sort of an outsider. If you had a terrible disease like that, or cancer, we'll say, and the Lord healed you, would you return to give him thanks? But you think you could take the time to give him thanks? But think of the one who was brought to Jesus who had palsy. Now he's a pretty helpless creature, wouldn't you say? He had to have 4 people carry him. And so those 4 people come in and they let him down before the Lord Jesus. What did the Lord Jesus say? Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The Lord Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. The people said, who can forgive sins but God only? The Lord Jesus says, it's easier to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, or to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. What was his great need? That his sins be forgiven. Well, those lepers, the 10 of them, was there only one that had his sins forgiven? We don't know. But there has to be that work in our souls. That's the great work. That's the great need. That man with the palsy had, if he had his sins forgiven, that would have been far better than having a strong body, because we know that sooner or later we have to leave this world. Well, there's just one other word here, hope. And that word is a interesting word. It's a beautiful word, is it not? It has such a message. And there's a verse I'd like to read in Romans. I suppose everyone is saying, well, he's going to turn to Romans 8. But it's a very important area of the Word of God, and we could really spend a little time there. But I'd like to turn to Romans 15. You know, there were those that God said that they were without God in this world and without hope. Hope makes a marvelous difference. Our hope, what is in the future for us, is going to make the difference. Because our hope is in one that lives. The one who is there, that knows the future and gives us something. You know, we have many things and we consider them in our life and we think, well, I hope I have this as I grow a little older, and I hope I'll get that, and I hope I have this. He can put them all in there. I could put some of them in. But how solemn it is to think that one day they'll all fade. My wife bought a lot of her home. She put a lot into the things she had. 2 days before she died, we took her home. And she sat in a chair for maybe a half hour, three quarters. But she didn't seem very interested. The shine was all gone, disappeared. Was that because she'd grown old? Well, any longer. She needed something, and she did have something so far beyond that. And I've enjoyed it in this verse, and I see her time is very limited, and to me this has been a very beautiful verse, and that's Romans 15:13. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I just ask you to think about that. Think about that verse and think about the truth of this verse. The God of hope. God of hope. Without God, is there any future? Without the Lord Jesus, is there any hope? What's happening to us? We're all going downhill. The Lord doesn't come, we're all going down to the grave. We're going to have to leave behind perhaps things that we've enjoyed and enjoyed with others and shared with others. Things we've worked for. Things we've struggled for. But in the midst of all of this, there is the God of hope. And what does the God of hope do for us? The God of hope. What a prayer this is. Nice to pray this for our brothers and sisters and for ourselves. Must be a nice prayer in a prayer meeting. Maybe some of you young brothers that haven't been praying too much, you could learn this prayer. There's many prayers in the Bible, you know. Now the God of hope fill you with all sadness, darkness. Things in this life can get very dark. There isn't much light sometimes as you look at the future in this world. Even the leaders of today, they must look out at what is happening in this world and say, well, I'm going to put up my hands. I want to get away from it all. Nowhere to run. Unless we run to the Lord Jesus who makes the difference. I'd like to set that before you because it's the Lord Jesus that makes the difference in your life and mine. Religion won't do it. Legality won't do it. It's a person, Jesus Christ, who lives, who died in the cross, but one who lives. And the God of hope fill you with all joy. But it doesn't stop there. Joy and peace fill you with all joy and peace. How? In believing. Being able to trust Him. Be able to look at the future in hope, but also in peace to be able to say, Thy will be done. As for God, His way is perfect. And we know that's true, but to be able to say that what God is doing in my life, in my trial, in my difficulty, my problems, that God, who is perfect, is dealing with me, and I can leave it with Him. Joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now just go back and close with this verse in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 4. In patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I wish we could spend a little time on that verse.
Lord, we are able to time together. Thank you for thy word that was given to us and for reminding us of that inheritance that we have. All through thyself, Lord Jesus, the finished work of the cross of Calvary. And two, to think of thy love, Lord Jesus, a love that is unchanging, and that faith that thou hast given to us, and that hope for us. And we just pray that these things may live in our hearts, Lord, as thou hast given us here, that it may be real with us as we think of all that thou art, Lord Jesus, to us, thy person, thy unchanging one, ever living high in glory, to be there as we can sing. Behold thee, Lord Jesus, in the radiance of thy glory and love. So we just pray that thou keep us in the few moments that us will be here, that thou just preserve us and guide us. We pray for the rest of this day too, thy blessing upon these meetings, that each one of our hearts may be encouraged to go on with ourselves, Lord Jesus. So we minister to thee your thanks. In thy own Lord, worthy and precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
This meeting is at 3:30.